Welcome to Take It From The Iron Woman. My name is Susanne Müller, your host and the Iron Woman. This podcast is about empowering yourself and others to make real changes in the world. You will hear from everyday, smart, sophisticated, hip people like you and me. Not everybody has to be an Iron Woman to impress the world. Together, we will learn from the sports and business leaders how you can become a more successful person as an entrepreneur or a leader. It's one step at a time, one day at a time. Take your steps now. Take your big steps now. Join me on this journey to success. Take It From The Iron Woman. Today, we go to California, to Tanya. Wanted to interview her for probably 2 years already, and today is the day. Tanya is an independent environmental education professional. She is the host and producer of the Talaterra podcast and the community builder at the Trail Network and EE Forward professional development and partnership building initiatives for independent professionals who connect the public to the outdoors, science, and the environment through their work. An interesting journey. Welcome, Tanya.
Thank you, Suzanne. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on the show. My name is Tanya Marion, and I'm an independent environmental education professional. Currently, I'm investigating how independent environmental education professionals work in their communities. I assert that people learn a lot about the environment and science and the outdoors outside of the classroom, and that they're learning from people who work as independent professionals. I've been working independently for a very long time. My previous endeavor was plant-based education. And I used to do events, environmental education events. I had a bookstore associated with my endeavor, book festivals. I would always cross paths with people who also worked independently. Then when that came to a natural end, I decided that I wanted to find out who these other people were, because I never got a chance to talk to him.
And you have a podcast. That's how we got to know each other.
I have a podcast as well. Thank you.
We need to add all the good stuff. There's so much to unpack. I'm interested in nature, in climate change, the sports. We just realized you're both cyclists and just an entrepreneur. What is your biggest passion?
My biggest passion right now, pick one. I have lots, but I think my main motivation, what's motivating me right now, is finding out how people learn about the environment outside of the classroom and supporting the people who work independently, who literally work through communities and connect people to the outdoors through their work. When we think of environmental education, we think of big organizations and zoos and aquariums and botanic gardens and nature centers, and they all do absolutely fantastic and wonderful work. In communities, there are also people who work independently. These are people who took the initiative, who, say, literally picked themselves to change something that they saw needed to be changed, to start a program that they really thought needed to be started, and have been working independently and really below the radar and quietly as they work through their communities. I used to work that way. I still do. Really, that's really defines my existence. By highlighting their work, making it easier for them to meet prospective clients or prospective community partners. Because by bringing attention to their work, I really want to show that these individuals are professionals. These aren't just one time and then that's it. They develop programs, they write curriculum, and I speak with these individuals on my podcast. That's who I have as guests on my podcast. And they've just come from all different fields. It's a very, very diverse group of professionals. And not everyone identifies with the label of environmental educator, because they come from different fields, yet through their work, that is what they're doing, some form of environmental education.
I just got introduced to Andrea Reyes, and she is the founder of the New York Fair Trade Coalition. It's about climate change in a way. You can do swapping your clothes, so you bring clothes and then you can take whatever clothes they have. I gave a presentation on how to become a balanced community organizer, how to take care of yourself, because it seems like as a community organizer, you're always on, you don't know how to say no.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. People can see what's in front of them. People, mm-hmm. and they know what needs to be changed. And that is why I want to bring attention to their work, because people come to the field of already anyway, to environmental education or from all sorts of different other disciplines and fields. When I started my project, I asked people how they became involved in informal education. Some of them came to it through grad school or because of an experience they had in grad school or because of their experiences working at a summer camp when they were younger. Or one person came to it because they saw something missing in their child's classroom and they wanted to create that experience.
What's happening November 30th? Tell us more.
November 30th, there is a conference. The National Association for Interpretation is hosting their annual conference. And this time, there will be part of it will be in person. It'll also be a hybrid event. And it's locally. It will be in California this time. I have the opportunity to present at the conference and to talk about my initiative and the people I work with and the people whose work I'm celebrating in a presentation. It will be on December 1st, and it's titled Working Independently, and so I'll be talking about that. That's the focus of my presentation. And it's a wonderful, absolutely energizing conference. The National Association for Interpretation is the national organization for heritage interpreters. These are people who they might be park rangers, they might be interpreters at a nature center, but they're also character interpreters, like the character interpreters you might meet at a place like Colonial Williamsburg. And wonderful historians, they're fantastic storytellers. I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad that it's in person this time that, you know, you miss after last year.
When I heard of this event, I was like, interpreters? For me, an interpreter is like a translator. I had to dig a little deeper. It's the historians. It's the people who have a lot of knowledge and who can provide it to others who are interested. Yeah.
The word interpretation, that is always been a kind of an issue in the field, because people tend to think language interpreter or mm-hmm. sign language interpreter. They go there first mm-hmm. to talk about it as cultural and heritage interpretation. Okay, mm-hmm. Then that makes sense. These interpreters are wonderfully skilled at creating emotional and intellectual connections with a place, with an event, with a historical site. That is their focus.
Tell us a little bit about the biking. I heard that on Diane Viscas' podcast. There was a moment where you reflected. I know when we go on century rides, many times we're alone and we have time to think and reflect.
Well, on the particular century ride that I shared on Diane's podcast, Stories from Women Who Walk, there was a moment where I just left the most remote part of a course in the Eastern Sierra. I stopped to check if my old flip phone had a signal. When I stopped, I was very startled by the silence I was experiencing in that particular place. There wasn't any wind. There weren't insects flying or buzzing around. There isn't a highway for miles. And it was much more than a quiet moment in the Sierras. It was just profound, and it really just was in your face. Talked about that experience because soon after my conversation with Diane, that story became a short film. It was part of a workshop, the Earth Stories workshop that I had taken with the people at Story Center, whose specialty is making digital stories, and digital storytelling is their specialty. We were having a viewing of all of the films, the short films created. And that's how we got to talking about that with Diane. That was during a century ride.
What else goes through your mind when you're biking?
Oh, lots of things. Biking is wonderful. Biking, all that blood flowing through your brain is good. I have epiphanies. I have ideas to take back to my office. It is, for me, it's a form of travel. I used to ride a lot more than I have in the past COVID, I'm in California. Whenever there was a surge at the hospitals, I would stop. I would not ride outside. I would put my hook my bike up to the trainer and then ride in the kitchen. But I really, my objective here is to get that back where I was riding a lot, up to some 15 hours a week. It was just that's how I spend my mornings. And on the weekends, I need to get that back because I miss that. That's what I'm working on. But what does cycling do for me? It's energy, it's fresh air, and in a way, it also serves the same purpose as gardening does for me, which reminds me that nothing happens unless you make it happen. And that gardening has always represented that to me. And cycling does now too, because you have to keep yourself on the, have to be absolutely self-sufficient when you're on a bike, right?
I'm always amazed when, let's say you go to a place, let's say you go shopping, you bring your bag. I always feel like, oh my God, my shoulder is heavy. What do I have in the bag? Phone, money, whatever. Mm-hmm. Then you go running or biking, and then I have my little fanny pack, or for the biking, even you have like some pockets in the back. And what do you bring? Money, credit card, the phone these days. That's it. Yeah. Why do we schlep so much in our regular life versus when we go and do sports? We have nothing with us.
A good question. I don't know. Because my bag, is also very heavy. My sling bag.
What do you have in your bag? I'm always curious. Like, what do we bring? We bring the whole household. You bring the whole household except the sink with you.
Pretty much.
What is so important that we have to bring? And then why don't we bring more when we go biking?
That's a good question. Because you really don't need the lotion, the mints, the extra pens, the little pad of paper, what else is in your bag? All that other stuff.
Good exercise. We look at our bag. We don't need all of that stuff. That's what I always ask people when they're like, I need more. No, we don't. Actually, we need less. Mm-hmm. That's the environmental thinking that comes to my mind. We don't need that much.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I wish everyone could have the experience of cycling, of really only living with what you have in your jersey pocket, yeah, or your bike bag, your little bike bag.
The more important things on the bike is like how to fix a flat.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yes, that's the bare minimum. I wish I were a better bike mechanic. I'm not a bike mechanic.
Me neither. I'm always happy when nothing is happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you go mostly alone, or are you?
Mostly mm-hmm. alone, because it needs to fit in my schedule. Well, last year excluding, but I do have a group ride that I would join on Saturdays. I haven't ridden with them in a very long time. I need to do that as well, because that's a good group. There are different, of course, bike groups to choose from, but this particular group, the rides are a little bit longer. I liked riding with them.
I think it's interesting that on your website, and it's a beautiful website, you bring people together. With the pandemic, we were only able to do that virtually. Now you realize, I see it in your body language, like, I need to go back to that group. What is so special about that group? It's about the support that we have when we ride. It's, at least for me, it's much more fun than to go alone. I don't like to go alone because of the reason. What if I have a flat? What if something happens?
You can ride farther. The home range, my home range definitely shrunk last year. Yeah. When you ride with a group, you can ride farther.
I enjoy when I go to a new place in the world, run around, because you see different things because you don't go so fast.
Mm-hmm. But you get lost in the rhythm of going back and forth. Tried running to try to get some of that back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a good experience. I've always was concerned about whether or not I was assembled properly for running. There are some aches and pains, but I'm working on it.
You just have to run through it.
I've always been in awe of runners.
Differently crazy than the people who bike. You don't need so much equipment for the running. I think the running is even more special than the biking, because I know people, they have bikes that cost like more than a car. With the running, you just get a good pair of shoes, and the rest, you can use whatever you have.
Absolutely. Cycling can be expensive.
What tips do you have for entrepreneurs who want to come and join your network? I was looking at the network park and I was like, what could I contribute? I mean, everybody these days seems to be a coach, but who are you looking for who could add something special to your network?
That's a good question. Well, let's see. The network is about making it easier for the professionals to make connections with people who might want to work with them, who might want to hire them and work with them because of their specialty. It's also to make these professionals easier to find. That's the whole, reason for the network. There is so much involved in working, well, as any freelancer is listening, working independently, so much involved. My objective here is to improve their visibility, how much they could contribute to other programs, and how professional these individuals are, and also improve connection, visibility, credibility, connection. Mm-hmm. That's what the network is for, is to enhance all of that. There's just so much to learn, so much to learn about telling your story, putting yourself in front of people. On the podcast, I not only speak with people who work independently, but I also speak with researchers and others whose work can inform the work of the independent educators. So far, I've spoken with social scientists, I've spoken with evaluators, people who do program evaluation, and those types of people, because they all inform the others' work. Who else could I bring in? I could think of lots of people. Yeah, of course, there are coaches, there's business coaches, social media coaches. There are a lot of coaches in the world, but there's a lot of people who I would love to help connect with my particular audience to give everybody the opportunity to move forward and to finally launch the program that they want to launch or have more time to develop something that they've been wanting to develop since the beginning. Is when I've spoken in the beginning, one thing that I learned right away is that everyone wears lots of different hats. They would love to be able to delegate some of their tasks so that they can work on their programming or work on relationship building. So anybody who can help with those types of things, introduce them to my audience.
You want to ask Greta Thunberg on your network?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have actually never thought about reaching out to her. That would be interesting.
That would be something, right?
Yeah.
Now she's in Glasgow talking.
It's just inspirational and it's humbling to hear what is happening.
I want to say you have so much to offer. I want to encourage all the listeners to follow you on your website. As I said, everybody can contribute something. November 30th, December 1st is a big day, and we can see that on the website. We can learn from you, and good luck with everything. Thank you so much for this inspirational talk.
Oh, thank you, Suzanne, for inviting me. Yeah, thank you.
What will you take away from this episode? Take it from the Iron Woman. We have episodes every Monday, every Wednesday. There's something for everybody. You listen to stories from coaches, from runners, from cyclists, from environmentalists. We just heard from Tanya. There's something for you to learn and grow. Thank you so much for your support. You can find Take It From The Iron Woman on your preferred podcast platform. And Take It From The Iron Woman is also a book. Don't miss out. Now is the time to order it or download it. It's about global business coaching with sports parallels.